Thank you. Excuse me, I'm just sort of looking around. I see Neil Ellison over there. We try and keep the standards up here, but now, where are all the boys and girls? I've got to do something. Let's see. I want all the good children on this side and all the bad ones over here. The adults can stay where they are because I know what you are. But all the good children, can you come over on this side? Good. And all the bad ones over here. Are there any? Now, let's just make sure. So all the children over here are the bad ones. That's right. Hands up all the bad children. Hands up all the bad grown-ups. I think we're going to have migration. And all the children over here are good. Is that right? Are you good? Okay, you're on the right side. But hold on. What are you? What are you? Is your mum here? Yes. Is she right? Yes. Is she bad? I want to show you a diagram that might help us understand what's going on. Oh, here we are. Oh, yes, we're still making up our minds. You see, when you look at that diagram, you can see on the left-hand side is what we call God's measure. If we're going to meet God's measure, we've got to be 100%. Now, all the good children will know this. Who is the only person who's ever lived, who has met God's standard of perfection? Oh, go to the top of the class. Don't take your books, you won't be there long. Jesus. Okay, all you guys who are bad, these are the bad ones over here. If you look at all those lines, we've got 98% people. We've got 90% people, right down to 25 and 5%ers. Now, I want the children to answer this. Think very carefully. You'd say, wouldn't you, that the 98% person must be a very, very good person. Little bit wrong. Make some mistakes, but generally pretty good. Do you know somebody in that category, apart from yourself? Didn't you say your mum was over there? How many percent do you think she is? Sorry? Oh, you don't know. What about your mum? I don't think I'll repeat that on the microphone. Somebody might hear. Okay, adults, where are we going to put Kevin Rudd? Sorry? Jesus Christ. He's a saint. That's a very difficult one. But when you think of the community, you see, in our families, we have mums and dads and brothers and sisters. And we all make mistakes, don't we? So none of us actually get up to God's standard. But sometimes we think of people, maybe the headmaster of your school, I don't know, maybe they're pretty good. But as we go down, there's some pretty terrible people in the world, aren't there? Some people, anyone watch that television series, Underbelly? Oh, it's about, I haven't seen it, but I understand about a whole lot of bad people. What about those who go around with guns, robbing ATMs? Where would you put them? 5%. I think you're generous. Zero.
Minus 1.
I can't go to -1. But you see that all those people, some are good, some are not so good, none of them actually reach God's standard. Let me ask you another question. Where's somebody very bright? Here we are, over here. Lady in the red dress. If you go to school, how many marks do you have to get to pass? Sorry? Good answer, 50%. You know, when I was in Moore College, we had a Bible test. And there was one fellow who got 50%. Most of them got above that, but a few below it. But he said, I'm the only one who's passed. Because I said to them, how many do I have to get to pass? I said, 50%. And he said, look at that list. I'm the only one who got 50%. Maybe we need to apply that sort of thinking to here. Because you see, we are all failures. We didn't make the 100%. Excuse me, would you move back over this side? We thought we were good, but I've come over here with you, you see, because we're all failures. We've all missed out on God's standard. And do you know what happens when we miss out on God's standard? Something happens to our relationship with God. Tell me, what happens in your home when you do something bad? You go to your room, your mum says, stay there until you can behave yourself. Communication is broken. She said, I'm not talking to you. Don't ask me for anything. Same sort of thing happens internationally. Two countries have an argument, they pull back their diplomats. We're not talking to each other. When we don't do what pleases God, oh, these people are on the opposite side of the valley, the chasm, the gulf to God. We're cut off from God. Let me show it to you in perhaps a little different way, because I know that you all have sort of, you know, technical minds. On one side, all men and women, because all those who are less than 100%. On the other side, God. And what is it that separates us? Terrible thing that we don't like to talk about. But the result is that we are all separated from God. Is that good news, Ross? No, good. I was worried there for a moment. Cut off from God. Is there an answer? Is there a solution? Can we do something about this? Yes. You know the story of Jesus when he died on the cross. And what do we sometimes call somebody who saves us from a difficult situation? Well, the school teachers. Saviour. Yeah, rescuers and all those other things, but he's really a saviour, isn't he? Now think about what happened on the cross. There were two thieves that were crucified with Jesus, one on the right, one on the left. One thief said to Jesus, the first thief said to his friend, and also to Jesus, you're supposed to be the Son of God. Get us off this cross, if you are. He didn't actually say it, but he gave the impression that he did not believe Jesus to be the Son of God. We give him a label. And we call him, not only is your vocabulary limited, you're not very good readers. Unbeliever. Because he said, you're not really the Son of God, otherwise things would be different. The other thief said to him, hey, listen, guy, just hold your peace. This man doesn't deserve to be on the cross. We do, we're thieves, but he doesn't. And then he turned to Jesus and said, Jesus, remember me when you come in your kingdom. Which is saying, this is not the end. There's something after this. Maybe he didn't have all his theology right, but he knew that Jesus had something better to offer. What do we call him?
Believer.
Oh, go to the top of it. Yes, well done. He's a believer. Now, one's a believer and the other's not a believer, but these two thieves are in the same problem that you and I are. What have they got hanging over their heads? sin. Because you see, they're not 100%ers either, are they? They might be 50%ers, but probably more like 20, 15, down the bottom. They've got a problem with their sin. Now let me show you something else. The law of gravity tells us that you've got to put things on something, otherwise they fall. Is that right? We're all the scientists. Is that right, Neil? Yeah, okay. My hand is holding the book up. If I take my hand away, what's going to happen to the book? It'll fall. You're right, yes. So what are these two guys going to do with their sin? They just can't have it floating around there somewhere in space. It's got to go somewhere if it is to be dealt with. The unbeliever doesn't believe that Jesus is the Son of God. The believer believes that Jesus is. So what does the believer do with his sin, do you think? Puts it onto Jesus, the sin bearer. That's why he died, wasn't it? What's happened to our unbelief? What's he going to do with his sin? Oh, I can hear some guesses, but nobody's game to speak up because you might get it wrong. He keeps his sin on himself. So what do we learn from this? We're all bad. We're all got a problem with sin. Sin separates us from God, but when we ask Jesus to be our Saviour, he forgives our sin. We have a baptism which outwardly shows that sin is washed away when we forgive us, when God forgives us. Let's bow our heads and ask God to help us understand. Loving Father, thank you for Jesus. Thank you that he died on the cross to take away our sins. Help us to love him and to serve him all the days of our life, because we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.